According to a study published in the American Academy of Pediatrics, less work and more play helps a child to learn, develop socially, and promotes better health. Researchers also reported that curbing free time at school robs youngsters of needed exercise, leads to unruly classrooms, and ultimately the tragedy of listening to...
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
All around the world, teenagers with ED rely on Cialis for Teens. Cialis for Teens is proven to work fast and last up to 36 hours. Before taking Cialis for Teens, ask your pediatrician if you're healthy enough for sexual activity. Then ask your dad to explain exactly what sexual activity is. Do not drink sugary caffeinated energy drinks in excess while taking Cialis for Teens. Cialis for Teens does not protect against STDs or help you get a date with a varsity cheerleader. In the event of an erection lasting more than 4 hours, be sure the bathroom door is locked and have plenty of magazines on hand. Cialis for Teens. When puberty arrives, will you be ready?
This station presents... Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Skin Tight Speedo Wearer.
Mr. Skin Tight Speedo Wearer.
Yes, we're sure that swimsuit style is all the rage on the beaches of Bulgaria. But here in North America, we prefer to keep our private parts private.
We can tell what your religion is.
Thank you, Mr. Skin Tight Speedo Wearer, for when you come out of the surf, you alert the rest of us beachgoers as to just how frigid the water is.
Your Audi is now an innie.
Why would you want to accentuate shrinkage?
Someone hand that man a towel, yeah.
Your tacky trunks go by many names. Banana hammock, grape smuggler, torpedo tube, and man sock. But they all equally display the inadequacies of Mr. Skin Tight Speedo Wearer, a real American hero.
Mr. Skin Tight Speedo Wearer.
Close your eyes, kids. Here he comes again.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio in Studio City, California. Get ready for Sam in the Morning.
And getting ready for October 2nd. It is Friday, and Sherry is back in the studio with me. Thank goodness.
Somebody to smile at you.
Yeah. What would I do without you?
Probably be a lot happier. Be able to wallow.
No, I don't think so. It'll be a pretty boring show.
Well, I was going to say happy Friday to you.
Thank you.
But I don't know if it's such a good Friday for
no,
you.
No, it's a good Friday. It's a happy Friday.
Well, because it's not last night.
No, because you're here. I can't possibly say anything negative.
Because I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, I'm starting to watch myself.
I'll be
you don't kill me, but you give me a hard time.
I'll be kind to you today.
Thank you.
You're
and
welcome.
Then I have to explain myself. No, I'm really not pessimistic. You know? I mean, I got hit by a car last night. Not me, but my car got hit. And the funny thing is, the first thing I did when I got out of the car is, God damn, fuck this shit. You know, I'm supposed to take this car back and all this.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw she's like really shaking, right? She was this college student.
Yeah.
From CSUN. So, you know, and when women start crying, it's like you don't know what to do. Yeah. You don't know what to do. It's like the argument's over,
uh-huh.
You know. So, and then I was being nice, and I figured, you know, what the hell. You know, I was kind of shaking myself.
Yeah. Was she apologizing and stuff?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. And then her whole Mexican family showed up. You know how big those can get.
Did they all come out of the car?
No, actually, they brought their own cars.
I don't know. They all like 10 of them piled out from the back.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And they all come to shake my hand.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm going, what the hell?
But both of you guys were okay? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, usually the car that hits doesn't get as damaged as the car that gets hit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I haven't been in many accidents in my life, luckily, knock on wood. Yeah. Now I'm like going to drive out of here and boom. But I remember like the couple of times that people have hit me, it's like, I think it's just more fear. Like you're just so shaken up, you know?
Yeah.
It freaks you out, you know?
It really does, you know? And you don't know. I mean, it's never a good time to get into an accident.
Really? Then, you know? The confetti doesn't come up.
Yeah. You know? And then you start realizing, well, first of all, okay, so I'll drive the car like this home.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize the car doesn't start. You can't really drive it anywhere. So the realization constantly comes up like, okay, what's going to happen now?
You right,
know?
Yeah.
Like, now I got to get a new car.
And there's like 8,000 thoughts that go through your head.
Yeah.
Well, just one thing at a time. Like, yeah. And I know, I mean, the first thing that I want to say that I'm sure everyone's thinking is like, at least you're safe and everything.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I mean, I want to put like positive spins on everything because I thought about it as I was driving here, like, what could you possibly say to someone that gets, you know, in a car accident? Like, oh, it's all meant to be.
Yeah. Well, you say it could have been worse, you know?
Well, yeah. I could be here by myself trying to figure out that soundboard. That would be a lot worse.
Yeah, there you go. I had to think about that too.
No, but I mean, I was thinking because I always feel like there's lessons to be learned in everything and, you know, it might not be like right this moment, but, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's something that happens at the insurance company or someone you meet or like there's a million things that come together as to why things happen. You
think
know?
I'm going
to
meet a wife at the insurance company?
If your wife is listening, no. You still have two more good years. That stays in my head, that 7-year itch has stayed with me.
Yeah.
But I mean, this morning, it's funny that things happen. This morning as I was leaving Starbucks, this homeless man, or I don't know if he was homeless because he looked pretty well-dressed. I think he was just a traveler, asked me for money.
Really?
And
he claims he was a traveler.
Well, I mean, he looked pretty well. I know, he looked like a backpacker kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so I go to get money out, and as I go to get money out, like, my coffee spills all over my shirt.
Oh, my God.
And I just did laundry yesterday.
Yeah.
And immediately, I'm just like, and my first thought is, I can't believe that something bad happens to you while you're doing something good.
Yeah.
And then I was like, Sherry, that is the worst thought ever. That means you're doing something good just because it makes you feel good, you know, about yourself as opposed to like doing it. So then I caught myself and I was like, that's such an ego thing. Like you have to be doing good because you want to. So I was like, okay, you helped somebody else out and all it cost you was coffee on your shirt.
Well, for you, that's good. But let me tell you what happened when I did a good deed. One time this guy walks up to me and he wants a cigarette. You know, I'm standing outside.
Yeah.
So I'm like on the phone. And I'm trying to get the cigarettes out and everything, and my iPhone falls on the floor and crashes. Okay? So that's not a cup of coffee there. You know? It cost me $200 to replace it.
That sucks.
So, yeah.
They maybe told you you weren't
so that's
iPhone.
When you're trying to be nice, you know?
I know. Yeah. And the worst thing was, he was like, oh, did your coffee spill? I was like, yeah. And he's like, that sucks.
Yeah.
I'm like, how about, oh, I'm so sorry. You were getting money for me. Like all this stuff. That sucks. I'm like, yeah, it sure does. It just did laundry.
Yeah.
So
I know that sucks, man. But yeah, you gotta go with it and say, okay, I did a good deed, and
or no,
happens.
Not say that at all, though.
Yeah,
it's just you know, because I think that's when people do things to have good things come back to them, as opposed to like doing it selflessly, you know. And I caught myself not being a good person this morning by thinking that.
I see.
So then I got on the freeway, which I've never.
It's gonna be hard to be you.
I know, because I have to be like this angel all the time. Then I get down on myself for being imperfect. No, I had to get off the freeway too. I don't usually take the freeway, but I had to pick up at an errand to run this morning. And as I got on the freeway, there's traffic, and that's my worst thing is dealing with traffic.
Yeah.
And this guy was going so slow in front of me, and I'm like, drive! And then I said, Sherry, get off the freeway because you're gonna be miserable at work. And so I just had to get off and start looking at the palm trees. Yeah.
And look at the birds. Stop
back to my bubble. Back where everything is good and there are no car accidents.
Everything is wonderful.
There's no big brown spot on my shirt.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, how do you get coffee stains out? Do you know anything about that? Because I have a work shirt. Okay, we need to
It doesn't just come out in the laundry?
No, I bleached like my work shirt, my white work shirt, and it's still this big brown stain in the
middle.
Yeah, so then when this happened, I was like, great. My brown stain's all over the place.
Yeah, there you go. Time for a new outfit.
Oh, good thinking. I was thinking maybe I shouldn't drink coffee. But I like the shopping one.
Yeah, go to the extreme. Stop drinking coffee.
I like that.
No, stop helping helpless people. I mean, homeless people.
And helpless.
Yeah.
That'd be funny if they called homeless people helpless.
Yeah, they are.
No, don't stop helping.
Yeah. No, they are helpless. I'm sure if they could do something for themselves, they would, you know, but it's usually mental illness and stuff,
yeah.
I think, you know.
Although, I think this guy was just taking everybody's money and traveling.
Yeah, that's what they usually say, you know, when they approach you in the parking lot. Yeah, I'm out of gas and I need to get back home. And it's always the same story.
Yeah. Well, he wanted a quarter and I had much easier access to the quarter. I gave him a dollar and then I spilled my damn coffee. Well, anyway, I'm glad you're safe.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. And I want to thank everybody on Facebook also wishing me well and stuff.
Yeah, I thought about posting under there and then I was like, oh, he's going to get a big enough ego for everyone caring about
him. Yeah, exactly. Why would I help, right? I ain't helping him with his ego.
It's already big enough.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
So today we're going to have a guest at 9:30, an author who wrote the book The God Question. And I always love talking about God. I think most people do.
Yeah.
And
it can get very intense, though. People, I mean, when you have like fanatics, like
right.
My mother was here.
Right. Yeah.
It can get a little crazy.
But we're gonna hear different views from all the philosophers over the ages, you know, and stuff. So it's really interesting to hear what Plato and them, and then later philosophers as well, you know.
I mean, it's all gonna be great as long as it all comes back to me being right.
I see. Okay.
My opinion is the only opinion.
I see. Okay. We'll hear your opinion in a minute, too, I'm sure.
I think you've heard plenty of it already. Just be good and kind.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Mr. David Letterman?
No. What happened with him?
He just came clean that he's been having sexual affairs with, like, co-workers and stuff.
Really?
Yes.
David Letterman?
Yeah, and he had to do it on a show. I guess someone was blackmailing him.
Oh.
They left a letter, like, on his car or something saying, I know what you've been doing. Like, you've been doing terrible, terrible things.
Uh-huh.
Blackmailing him. Because I guess he just got married in March.
Right.
But over the years, he's been having sex with his employees.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so I guess that it came out because he wanted to stop being blackmailed or something, and so he did it in his monologue. I didn't actually see it, but in his monologue, he made jokes and references to having affairs.
I see,
so now it's like this big controversy.
Okay, so you're trying to tell me something about big egos?
I'm just telling you, don't get caught.
Okay.
And you won't
have
to go on the radio and tell your life story about it.
I know. It's got to be the most embarrassing thing, you know? But it's like, what are you thinking? You know, I mean, these celebrities live in a glass, you know, in a bubble.
How do they not think one person's not going to find out?
Yeah.
You know?
You know? And especially like those politicians, you know, like Elliot Spitzer and them, you know?
Yeah, Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Especially in the White House.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to see that coming.
Yeah.
Literally.
I know.
Or dressed.
But then this guy goes to a hooker and stuff, and he thinks nobody's going to find out. You know, but yeah, with Letterman, that's a shocker.
Yeah, right? I know. They always think, everyone thinks he's going to keep it a secret, but everyone tells their one best friend that they have that's not going to say anything, and then their one best friend tells their one best friend.
Exactly. You don't trust anybody.
And then before you know it, you're in the front of Yahoo News being like, I've cheated.
Yeah.
And I've been blackmailed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A little crazy. Yeah. I had a dream about you last night, though.
You did?
Yes, I
did. I'm honored.
It's not that kind of dream.
I see. Okay. God damn it.
Well, no, I'm afraid to say it because I think I've said before that a lot of times my dreams come true.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember them often, but I dreamt of an earthquake last night, a pretty big one.
Really?
Yes.
And I was in it? Was I saving
you? Well, I called you. Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
the damsel in distress.
You're like, what are you wearing? And I'm like, no. I want to make it an interesting story like that, but it wasn't like that. I'm like, but Sam, I need to know what to do. Well, first, take off your shirt.
Then we'll take care of you. We'll do a breast examination.
Oh, while the earth, while my house is falling in. At least you'll have healthy breasts.
There you go. All in the dream, of course.
Of course. Let's get that clear for people that just tuned in. Sam is not giving me a breast exam.
No. Not in this lifetime, I don't think. Unless I decide to pull a Letterman, you know.
Right, because he's the only one with a choice here, not me.
Yeah, exactly. And I've got the big ego.
And you are foxy.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And thank goodness he's 62. I'm only 49.
You've only got a few more years.
Only a few more years.
They go by. Don't they go by like
they
super
do.
Quick, though?
They do. But you don't have to remind me. You
know? Listen, I'm on
according
to
the odds, I only have about 20, 25 years left.
Oh, and then you better make them good and stop getting an accident.
There you go.
Or at least when you do, don't jump out of the car and be like, fuck, shit, bitch.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I should have asked her for a date.
Made the most out of the situation. While we're waiting for the cops, you want to give me head?
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to the bushes here.
Yeah. Then the Mexican family would show up.
Yeah.
They might kick your ass.
Yeah, but the cops don't show up, you know. I think she was, like, really afraid a cop would show up and know that she ran a red light, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's, like, a big deal.
Well, that totally teaches you patience, though, too. I mean, like, because there's never really a rush to get anywhere, you know. And I kind of, I'm like speed demon myself and stuff.
You see, most of the accidents I got into were my fault because I'm always impatient, you know, like change lane really quick or whatever, you know.
Want to go around somebody that's like trying to make a turn.
Yeah.
I always do that a lot. Like, I just won't wait behind someone that wants to turn.
I know. And this time was different, but there was a witness there, so that's good, you know.
So at least it teaches you then, like, this is what you could do to somebody.
Exactly.
Or what you have done.
Exactly.
No,
so maybe I'll call her. I'll tell her I'm not going to report this if I can get ahead. Head from you.
Suddenly you're blackmailing people here.
Yeah, there you go.
You're not going to be deported. All I need you to do is show up once a week.
Yeah, and take care of me.
That's awful. But good thinking.
Yeah, there you go. You know, you got to be strategic at all times.
If I was a guy, I might do it. Who am I kidding? I'd have volunteer. I'd be like, no, please don't deport me. I'll suck your dick. Okay.
That sounded like an Indian, not a Mexican.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know what else to do. They don't all sound the same. That's just joking. No, but I want to talk about this earthquake thing because I've been here 10 years and I didn't go to school here, like where you have like earthquake drills and stuff. And so I don't really, honestly, like, you hear all these things that you're supposed to do,
right.
But for whatever reason, I guess when the earthquake was happening, I decided you'd be the one to call.
I don't know. Who are you going to call?
My life, damn. I don't know why, out of all people, because then you'd probably be like, what the fuck? Why is this happening?
Yeah.
Like, you know? But I did decide to call you in the middle of this major earthquake to ask you what I should do. And then the next scene, because everything's a film in my head, the next scene, and then it was a comedy, I'm like in the, under the frame of the door, I guess, you're supposed to stand, but with a mattress over my head. With a mattress over my head and then like a barricade in front of me. Like, I had done like everything that you had told me, like you can do this or that, but I did it all like at once. And so it was just like this really funny thing. And I'm sitting there crying on the phone with you. Like I don't know. And then I woke up. So I don't really know what it means, but I think it means we're going to have an earthquake.
No, it's not going to mean that. It means I'm going to shake your world. That's what it means.
You're already shaking it up. Shooking it up. No, but okay. I'm just saying my dreams come true.
Yeah.
They do. But it doesn't mean it has to be a major earthquake.
No, it doesn't.
You know.
Let's hope not. That's just what I need is a fucking earthquake.
Things come in threes. Yeah. You know, but I mean, you know, with all the other earthquake, did you hear that they found two people in that whatever city and country it was that had the earthquake? I keep wanting to say tsunami.
Malaysia or something?
Indonesia.
Indonesia.
I guess they just found like two people alive like 2 days under all this rubble
and stuff.
Really? These two girls. Yeah, they just found them today, I guess.
Oh, well, good for them.
Wow.
What can
you're
I say?
Pathetic. Good for you guys. I got in an accident.
Yeah. Two more people. What are you going to do? Two more, two less.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, what about the hundreds that died? I mean, you might as well mention them.
Thousands
too,
now, yeah.
Thousands?
Yeah, it's like I think yesterday it was like 1,100 at that point.
Really?
Or whatever. But that's what I'm saying. They found two alive people.
Yeah.
Why are we going to be like, well, too bad for all the dead people. We don't care about your two lives. They mean nothing.
Yeah. Especially in Indonesia, right?
Does that place even exist? Terrible.
It does, but I ain't going there, man. Let me tell you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ouch.
So, okay, so on Letterman, since you started this, I guess he did tell the audience that he's the victim of an extortion attempt. So, apparently, they wanted $2 million. So
that's a lot of money.
Yeah. So, he had a grand jury testimony? Why would he do that?
I don't know.
I mean, why would he go to a grand jury?
Is he Jewish?
Yeah.
Guilt? That's the guilt. That's what I'm saying.
I see. So you think he turned himself in?
Maybe. Does it not say?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to read it. And see.
I half read it.
Yeah.
I was just like, idiot, you got caught.
Yeah. Oh, I guess maybe. Oh, I see. He went to the district attorney's office. I guess maybe to report it. The extortion.
Oh, because he's being blackmailed. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I guess they had to do. Like,
how do you decide? Like, do I get blackmailed or do I ruin my reputation and my marriage?
Yeah, I think he figured that it's probably going to come out anyway. You know?
He's definitely Jewish. He wanted to hold on to his money.
Yeah.
He's like, my career, my wife, or my money.
Yeah.
Fuck that. I'm holding my money.
Yeah.
Wife and career can come. I'll replace that.
Yeah, yeah. But it would be difficult. I mean, you get all these hot chicks around you and stuff, you know, and they all cater to you and kiss your ass and stuff, you know?
I will not cater or kiss your ass, Sam. As much
God
as you hate.
God damn it. I better get a late night show then.
Make a little more money, then we can talk.
I see. Okay. God damn it. I'm doing it all wrong.
You're funny.
So apparently they arrested the man. I don't know if that's the man. That
oh, is it a man that caught
yeah,
him?
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder if the woman, the people that he was having an affair with, are the ones that were part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like to get the money and stuff.
I don't know.
They like went and hired someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe. Yeah, that's possible too. But yeah, what would you do if you found out? Would you do an extra
You mean if I was one having an affair?
No, if you caught him. If you caught him.
No, because actually there's this like inner affair going on in my restaurant.
Oh yeah.
that I know about that's not be going on between uh-huh. somebody higher up and I'm friends with the higher up person. Mm-hmm. And for the last like week, I've had this inner turmoil. Like, do I tell them that there's all these rumors going on about them, you know, or do I just stay out of it?
Yeah,
you know
stay
what I mean?
Out of it.
I have.
Yeah.
Until right now.
Yeah.
No. I was just like.
Because you always, you know, when you try to be good, then you end up being the son of a bitch, you know? No, I mean, that's how it is.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's like trying to like, I just, they have to get themselves out of their own mess at this point,
yeah,
you know? And if
yeah.
you go and do something like that, then that's on you. Because the last thing I need is, like, the repercussions, you know?
Yeah.
It's their business. So
yeah,
I've
exactly.
decided. But I used to be, like, I was the biggest gossip. I mean, really? I would not lie and be like, you know what? Da-da-da-da's doing this, and you shouldn't do that, and I'm right. Like, I'm just like, Sherry, stay out of it.
Yeah.
Life is peaceful right now and calm. Like, you don't need to stir
yeah,
up anything.
Yeah, let's keep it that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I used to choose destructive behavior a lot.
Did you?
Yes. I've learned, like, this. I used to think peace was boring, you know?
Yeah.
And now, like, I love not having any issues.
Yeah.
You know, even not yeah. liking somebody is exciting.
Like yeah.
not having a crush on someone.
Yeah.
Because as soon as
you
I
like that.
I kind of do. Because every time I have a crush on someone, they don't feel it back. And then I cry myself
and
to
it
sleep.
It makes you miserable.
So it's kind of easier just not to like anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'll bet you when you finally meet someone, it's going to be like the greatest guy ever. You
oh,
know?
I know. I've already know. This is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to have, like, one of the greatest love stories of all time.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to go down, like, in the history books, and
yeah,
I mean that. Like,
really?
The story behind it, like, I feel like I've been
That sounds too complicated. I don't know if you want that.
No, but not in a bad way.
If you want peacefulness. You know?
No, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been prepped for 35 years to have this. Because
yeah.
It's been, like, most people aren't single as long as I'm single, you know? I'm 35, and I've only had one serious relationship.
Really?
You know, and I was
yeah.
15.
Well, you've got issues then.
Thanks, Sam.
You've got commitment issues, but you may not realize it.
No, I think I used to think that I didn't, and uh-huh. I've had to be like, because I look around and I'm like, you're not ugly, Sherry. You know
yeah.
what I mean? And you don't have a bad personality or anything. So I've had to actually sit back and be like, why aren't you dating someone? There's got to be at least someone out there that'll like you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I realized I have over the years realized that I was the one pushing people away.
Really?
And not yeah. knowing that I did.
Yeah.
I just, you know, either number one chose really bad people.
Right.
You know, destructive people and people that couldn't commit. A lot of times they were lived in another state.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Uh-huh.
Or just, you know, we're with somebody else. Just all reasons why we couldn't be together, you know.
Right,
so
right.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know, but now it's open and available. Like, I'm not saying like I'm open and available to the world, but I mean inside I am, you
right.
know what I mean? So
you're emotionally available.
Yeah, thank
yeah.
you. That was what I was looking for.
Sounds good. Okay. Well, you have to find someone who's also available.
I know, but now I'm
ready.
Working so much. Now that I'm emotionally available, I'm like, I don't go out anymore because I'm here. I'm like, I'm getting myself involved in all these other acting things that are popping up right now.
Yeah.
So.
Good.
Yeah, no, I think that's good.
It'll happen.
I think that, yeah.
It'll happen.
I'm really honestly not concerned, but I am concerned about... I have a dear relationship question. I don't know why I'm asking you this.
Well, I'm good with relationships.
Well, that's true. You are in one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is...
Are you sure you want to talk about it on the air, though?
Yeah, he's not listening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he doesn't
okay,
listen.
Okay, so it's not who I think. Okay.
No. No, actually, this is somebody that I used to work with many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, we kind of reconnected again. But anyway, they came out here, and we spent time together, and I wasn't really... I guess interested, but I ended up following through.
Yeah.
And long story short is that I've said straight out to the person that, you know, actually lied a little bit. I said that I was dating somebody, and because they kept calling, and I wasn't really interested, and they continue to do it, and I don't return phone calls, and occasionally I'll return a text, you know, saying, I'm sorry, I've been so busy, but, and he was like, well, I want to come out and visit you again, and I said, you're more than welcome, you're a great person. I said, but honestly, it's not going to be the way it was before. Yeah. And he was like, okay. So what I'm trying to say is that he keeps, you know, texting and calling, and then it's like, you're a jerk, why aren't you doing this? And it's like, at what point does it not become my responsibility anymore and theirs to be like, hello, get a clue, she's not interested.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm feeling bad about this, and I don't know how many more ways without saying, fucking stop.
Yeah, well, then say it. Yeah, you see, you gotta, at a certain point, you gotta stop worrying about what other people are gonna think.
Right.
You know? And not try to spare their feelings all the time.
Right. Well, I figured, you know, ignored texts, 10 of them, like, that I haven't returned, that you'd get a clue.
Yeah. Doesn't work.
No. Yeah. And so, and I think it's because, like, maybe every 5 or 10, I'll throw a text back, like, sorry, I've been crazy busy, all that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
So maybe I should just not, but they're, but they're nice people. They're kind. I mean, they, he's a really good person, you know?
Right. So, but what does that have to do with anything?
Well, I just don't want to be a bitch.
Well, you have to.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, you can't expect him to like you after you tell him to fuck off, practically.
Well, it's just, you know, I don't want to tell them to fuck off. I just said, I don't like you. I'm dating somebody else.
Yeah.
But they still want to come out
That's
and visit
not
me.
Enough,
they must really think I'm a whore. Like,
yeah.
Then they can come out and be like, I'll still fuck her.
Yeah. Listen, we got a phone call. Oh, let's see who that is real quick, right before we're supposed to do the interview, too. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
Good morning, L.A. This is Tommy from New York.
Oh, Tommy, how's it going, man? I thought it would be you, but, you know, you called at the wrong time because we're getting ready to call our author. Can I get you to call back in about half an hour?
You got it. No problem.
Thanks, Tommy. Okay.
Have a good interview now, guys.
You too.
Bye.
I'm sure he's got a lesbian story for
oh,
us.
Oh, boy. I always get embarrassed right when I hear his voice.
Why?
I mean, why? It's even people are getting off to me. I have this visual of them.
Yeah, but they're lesbians, so it's okay.
And there's a man involved, and they're all listening to me.
Yeah.
Not that I haven't gotten myself off thinking of that thought.
All right. So we're calling Andrew Pessin, right? That's probably the way it's pronounced.
That's what I would think.
Yeah, but it's not ringing.
I can't hear me.
Hello? You can't hear you?
No, the whole time.
Oh,
barely.
Just bring up that number 4 switch over there. Yeah, but hello? No, it looks like there's someone on the line, but they're not there. Let's try it again. Somebody's calling now, too. Okay, well, I'm not taking this call. And yeah, managing calls on live radio. There you go.
I don't know how you do all this. I respect it completely.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like,
thank you.
Do the show and do that. And
yeah.
That's a lot.
Well, everybody figures out how to do it. Oh, my God.
Did you call a fax machine?
That's what they gave me. Okay, I think there's
Can we
a backup
fax in the
number.
Interview?
There's a backup number, so we'll try this one and see. I hope I dialed the right number, though. Yeah, I don't know. This is weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm doing this. Yeah, it had to be the right number because I copy and pasted. So let me try a different one. And we'll
Maybe
see
they gave you two
works.
Numbers.
Yeah, they did give me two numbers.
Oh.
But why would they give me a fax number?
I don't know. So you can fax back a welcome? I don't know. We're excited to see you.
All right. So the book is The God Question. What famous thinkers from Plato to Dawkins have said about the divine?
I love that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Hello.
Yes, good morning. Is this Andrew?
It is. Have you been trying on the home line?
Yeah, we did, and we got a fax machine, so we tried over here.
We were trying on the fax line.
Yeah.
We don't have a fax machine, and the phone did ring. I picked up and just got a dead sound. So
oh, really? And we got, like, a strong, high-pitched sound. So, at any rate, I mean, can you use this phone okay?
It's fine with me if it's fine with you.
Yeah, it sounds fine, yes. So, good morning to you.
Morning.
Where are we calling you? What part of the country are you in?
I am in Rhode Island.
Oh, Rhode Island. Okay, well, as far as possible from us.
That's good. I've got 20 more steps and I'm in the ocean, so.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
What a nice place to live. Wonderful.
I've got 20 hours to get there.
Yeah.
LA traffic.
Right. I should mention those are 20 enormous steps, but it's still, you know,
yeah.
Shooting distance.
Well, it sounds like a very inspiring place to write a book on God, you know. And so this is amazing. How? When did you first think about this, wanting to write a book about God?
Well, I am a philosophy professor at Connecticut College, just over the Rhode Island border, and for a number of years I've been teaching fairly regularly a course on the philosophy of religion, so so for quite a while, I've sort of been immersed in what the great thinkers have had to say about the idea of God. And over the last year or two, it started to occur to me that I really do believe that more people can and should, in general, do some philosophy, or at least think a little more than people typically have the time to do or are inclined to do. And there's probably no issue that's sort of more important and that matters to more people than the God issue, so why not see what I can do to get more people thinking a little bit more about the God question. And so that's what motivated me to write a book that's a philosophical book, but aimed at the general reader.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And yeah, and I mean, I can't think of a person that doesn't want to talk about God. You know, it's just such a topic, such an issue that obviously people, you know, for millennia have been trying to figure this out. So, let's get a little bit into the details. The first thing I wanted to ask is, do you actually remember each one and each of those philosophers you mentioned in the book and what their view is?
So is this your way of saying you're about to quiz me on some...
You are a professor.
Yeah, you are a professor. You don't have to answer that.
I was like, do you just read off your notes or do you actually know this stuff?
Well, I have the book in front of me, so I can try to turn the pages very quietly as you ask questions. Chances are I can talk about most of the chapters pretty much off the top of my head, so feel free to fire away.
How long have you been teaching this?
I've been at Connecticut College 5 years, and prior to that I was at a small liberal arts college in Ohio called Kenyon College for 10 years. So
I see.
I've been in this business for a while.
I see.
Wow.
Okay. Well, philosophy, I mean, I was really fascinated by it in college and stuff. So let's go into the most provocative one, I think, over the centuries has been God is Dead, right, by Nietzsche. Can you explain a little bit about that view?
Sure. So Friedrich Nietzsche is one of the more famous philosophers that many people will have heard of. He was a German philosopher at the end of the 19th century, and in fact he died in 1900, so he really encapsulates the 19th century. And what he reflects is something that became a very prominent theme in the 19th century with 19th century thinkers, namely it was the first century where it was sort of not only possible and permissible to be an atheist publicly, but in some respects even encouraged. It became the trend to be an atheist publicly. Prior to that, for literally 2,000 years, almost all the major thinkers who wrote and spoke publicly were believers and were theists because of the hold that religion had on public society.
I see.
So the 19th century is into the 19th century is a major break because suddenly the atheists are finding their public voice, and atheism finds its most strident and most remarkable public voice that culminates in the writings of Friedrich Nietzsche, who was actually certifiably insane. It's worth pointing that out.
Really?
He ended up, the last 10 years of his life, he was in an insane asylum in a straitjacket drooling. So, but nevertheless, he said very interesting things, even in that period. And his most famous slogan was, of course, the idea that God is dead.
Right.
And
if I was crazy, I'd probably say there's no God either.
So what he was getting at there was part of the whole program was his argument that religious ideas, and particularly the idea of God, is just something that was invented by human beings for various, usually evil, terrible reasons. And once more people could recognize that the idea of God is just an invention that manipulates people, then we can begin to destroy that idea. And so when he says God is dead, what he's really saying is the idea of God has been refuted.
Yes.
And but he says it in a very dramatic fashion, of course.
He really does, you know, and he explains this, you know, how people that usually are the failures in society are the ones that invented this because apparently, you know, because they're talking about the afterlife and all that, you know, so,
what's remarkable about him was he gave this overall analysis of religious belief. He was focusing on Christianity in particular and arguing that there's something backwards and inside out about Christianity, that it praises all the wrong things. So famously, Christianity says, or Jesus says in the New Testament, you know, that praise the meek, the meek shall inherit the earth. And for Nietzsche, strength and power are what we value and should value. And here's this strange religion saying that weakness, sickness, poverty, those are good things that to be aimed for. So he thinks that Christianity gets things absolutely backwards, and that's amongst the reasons why he sees it as a personal vendetta to sort of destroy Christianity.
Right, right. But his point was really to enjoy this life, which I think is a very positive thing, you know, so I don't...
It's all part of the same thing, exactly, because, you know, Christianity praises the weak and the meek by saying in the next life they're going to have it great, so they diminish the value of this life in favor of what he thinks is an absolutely imaginary fantasy next life. And his view, to the contrary, is that we should praise this life and we should immerse ourselves in this life. So it's actually very, very life affirming at the same time as he's, of course, destroying some of the major Western institutions.
Yeah. And I remember studying philosophy, you know, back in college and stuff, and talking about the God question. And I remember hearing something very interesting, that it's probably most likely that man invented God than God invented man, you know. And I mean, can you attribute this to anyone, any of the philosophers?
Most of the philosophers of the 19th century would say something like that. So,
really?
In particular, a guy that few of your listeners are likely to have heard of, a guy named Feuerbach, another German philosopher in the early part of the 19th century. He was a follower of Hegel, a more famous philosopher, and very much influenced Karl Marx, an even more famous philosopher. But Feuerbach's main idea was precisely that human beings invented the idea of God, and in particular, he has a nice analysis of how that works. He says that what we do, or what we have done, is take the things we like most about ourselves, that we are smart and that we are good and that we are loving, and we make a God out of those things. So that's why we say God is all-knowing, and God is all-good, and God is love. But what we're really doing are taking the traits we admire in ourselves and projecting them onto this being whom we then think of as different from ourselves.
Right.
So rather than think of, let's say, God as being divine, what he says is we should really think of knowledge as being divine and goodness as being divine, these properties in ourselves, and then we could recognize that the idea of God is something that we've invented, and we don't need that idea anymore once we recognize it.
Right, right.
So that was Feuerbach.
Yeah, and you
and
know...
Then, of course,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Well, then, of course, you know, Nietzsche comes a couple of decades later and is just developing that idea further by saying, let's get rid of the idea of God altogether. So he is following in Feuerbach's footsteps.
Right, right. So now what's interesting, though, is that many religions around the world and stuff have similar ideas, you know, about God and so forth. So do you think this is something like that is innate in people to want to believe, to want to create the understanding that there's something bigger than themselves?
That's a terrific question. So on the one hand, there is much you can find in common amongst the world's religions. I should mention that my own book, The God Question, is focusing on the Western tradition, just because you can't talk about everything. So
right.
I leave out treatment of, you know, very important Eastern thinkers in this book. But there's much that is in common, as you point out, amongst the world's religions. But on the other hand, there's also much that they disagree about. Most of the religions contradict themselves left and right in lots and lots of different ways.
Right.
So there's sort of two important philosophical questions that are generated by that. Insofar as they contradict themselves, we have to ask, well, which religion should you believe, right? Like,
right.
How do you know where to begin in choosing a religion, let's say? But then, insofar as there's much in agreement, and what's in agreement isn't necessarily that there's a God, but something a little more general, as you are putting it, that there's something greater than us out there, and the point of our life is to somehow get into a relationship with that thing that's greater than us.
Right.
That is what's common to many of the world's religions. You know, that raises the question of, it also raises the question, does it matter which religion that one chooses, or can one pretty much find anything anywhere?
Right.
And as you mentioned, should we say that therefore the idea of a greater reality is innate? We don't actually have to reach that conclusion. It might well be that human experience is just common everywhere. So
that's
it's not
true.
That people are literally born with this idea, but that wherever you live, whatever century you live in, whatever part of the world you live in, human experience is itself universal and leads people to this idea. So it's not necessarily innate. It's the environment which is common, which generates it. So I don't have an answer for you to that question, but
right.
It certainly is, you know, one of the interesting debates. Why do so many different peoples come to believe there's something more than what we immediately see with our senses?
Right. And I would imagine people turn to philosophy because obviously there's not a lot of evidence of God, or maybe everything is an evidence of God. It depends. But I guess people, just by the power of thought, you know, try to rationalize or to figure these things out based on thought, you know. So it's more like reason rather than...
That's right.
Whereas religion really is about blind faith.
Well, I don't know if I'd go so far as to agree with that exactly. So mm-hmm. this, you can have any number of sort of attitudes towards religious belief and religious doctrine. On one extreme is the blind faith. I'm just going to accept what the authorities teach me. I may not understand it. It may even contradict reason, but I'm going to accept it. And there's many people who take that route, of course. And on the opposite extreme, you might say, I am only going to believe what good rational argument demonstrates to me is certainly true. And some people go that way, and they try to fit religious belief into an entirely rational, coherent system.
Right.
And then, of course, there's all the middle ground, from the pure rationality to the pure faith. And my guess is the large majority of people fall somewhere, you know, in that spectrum where they are very inclined to believe many of the important religious doctrines, including the existence of a God, of some sort of God. But they are also interested in seeing just how far reason can go in helping us understand this being and whether or not there are adequate reasons, literally reasons, arguments, evidence to believe in this being. So I think most people spend much of their time in that middle ground trying to find the right balance of, you know, see how far reason can go, but also recognizing, as almost every major philosopher does, that when you're speaking about something like God, who is alleged to be an infinite being, an abstract being who's not visible to our senses, that our human knowledge is always going to be limited with respect to that. We might not be able to fully grasp this thing. So reason may only go so far, but the question, and this is what the philosophers have been grappling with, is just how far can it go? We shouldn't say, try to do nothing rational, but we might not be able to go all the way.
Right, right. Now, I wanted to ask you, is there like a theme, let's say, for the 20th, 21st century of thought about God? I mean, has it changed? Do we have anything new?
That's a great question. One thing that struck me as I was doing the research for this book, The God Question, is even at any one period, within one century, and even within any one tradition, like the Christian tradition or the Jewish or Islamic traditions, there's always a tremendous diversity of concepts and opinions present. Great Christian thinkers disagree amongst themselves about exactly what God is. So when you try to say, is there sort of like a general consensus at any phase, the answer might sort of be no. There's always difference of opinion, even within traditions and at given times. But if you were to step back and say, well, can I see some general, you know, like evolution in the idea of God, you can maybe see something, and I'll give you a 30-second sort of history. The ancient Greeks thought of God roughly as almost like a magnet. He's just the thing which makes stuff move by being attracted to it, just like a magnet can pull magnets towards itself. As you get into the medievals, the great Christian, Jewish, and Islamic thinkers developed the very traditional idea of God as a kind of person who has properties like power, knowledge, and goodness. As you get into the early modern period, 17th, 18th century, and the rise of modern science, God tends to be seen as something like the laws of nature. God just is the laws of physics. And then as you get into the 19th century, you get atheism exploding, as we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And then finally, to answer your question, the 20th century, 21st century, I think it's impossible at that point to say anything general, because what happens in the 20th and 21st centuries is the conversation which has been going on for 2,000 years prior to that doesn't separate conversations.
Right.
There's no longer a single trend that sort of a lot of people are contributing to, but rather there are people attacking religious belief vehemently. There are people who are trying to defend the traditional conception of God as a person with power, knowledge, and goodness. And then there are people who are willing to give up, keep God, but give up the traditional conception, give up power, give up goodness, try to make God more of a woman, for example. That's in feminist thinking. There's stress on the feminist aspect of God. So I don't think one can say there's sort of a common consensual view these days. Instead, there's a great diversity and plurality of perspectives, and it's actually a very fertile period to philosophize about God right now, because there's just so much new ground to be covered.
Right. And, you know, finally, I wanted to ask you, after reading all this and studying all this, have you developed a view of your own as to what God is?
That's a great question. My students, of course, always ask me that question when I teach philosophy of religion, and I typically avoid answering because I don't want to influence them. I want them to develop their own views, and I see my job as
sort of bringing out the most interesting and important ideas and arguments, and then letting them decide for themselves which ones they find most persuasive. And that's part of what's going on in this book. I think my own perspective is largely absent, or at least I hope that it is. Right. I'm trying to present a lot of perspectives and a lot of different ideas so that readers can grapple with them and reach their own conclusions.
I see.
As for myself, to answer your question, though, I mean, what I would say is, you know, as per the title of the book, The God Question, I'm a questioner. The grappling with the question is sort of what's most important to me, and I think no matter where one's starting point is, if you're a believer, a disbeliever, or somewhere, you know, in between, wavering, my hope is that this book, The God Question, will have stuff that will stretch your mind a little bit and help you go further and deeper into the position that you have. So I'm a questioner, and I'm hoping to get more people questioning.
Sounds good.
Book sounds great.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, and I think, you know, if for someone who hasn't had the chance to study this stuff in college, this
or
is
had an 8 a.m. class like myself and slept through it.
That's right. I know a few people like that in my own classes.
No, but now as I'm older, I want to know. That's why this is so intriguing to me.
Yeah, but definitely you hit on a great topic, and I think it's going to be successful. Is this a book that you just published now?
It just came out 2 months ago. That's right.
Wonderful.
And, congratulations.
I should mention there is a website for the book, which is god-question.com. Mm-hmm. And it also links to a blog about the God question. So those listeners who might be interested in getting involved in conversation or debate should find that blog via the website, god-question.com.
Right. Well, we're talking to Andrew Pessin. Thank you so much, Andrew. And I'm sure, obviously, the book probably can be had anywhere that books are sold. And I know I saw it on Amazon. And the book is The God Question, of course. And Andrew, thank you so much for your time and for the enlightenment. It was very, very interesting.
Thank you very much for having me.
Enjoy the beach.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, well.
I love that.
Yeah.
I want to read this right
take
now.
The book.
I'd love to.
It's really cool because you'll recognize some names, you know, from history and stuff. And you know, for
I
the
like what other people
century,
think for me.
Yeah, there you go. And it's really interesting when you read about a scientist that writes about God,
right.
You know.
Exactly.
And especially Einstein. He had a lot of great great phrases, great sayings about God and things like that.
You know, we were talking, you were saying whether it's blind faith. I think, like, as children, I mean, you're immediately taught what your family believes.
Right.
And I think you either have a choice to go, like, two ways. I mean, you can continue, you know, I think it's basically when something happens to you, you know, to either, you know, have that faith and then think that there's something greater, or when something bad happens to you, or else to go the complete other route and be like, well, there can't be a God. You know what I mean? Because this never would have happened.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
I think that's
what
most people develop, I think, you know, after they stem off from their parents and stuff, like how they end up developing their beliefs and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. You know?
You see, for me, it's like I'm able to separate God from religion, you know?
Absolutely.
It's like I think you can believe there's a higher power and stuff without subscribing to all these rituals, you know, and all these things,
I agree.
Because make it a personal thing, you know, make it something that you connect with. And so I think that's what spirituality is more about, you know, where it doesn't really make you go through all these rituals. It's sort of like, you know, this is it. You know, God is not good or bad. It's just, it's a force out there.
Yeah, well, when they talk about, like, man inventing God, like, to suit their needs, I think that's what, like, what religion is. It's not about the God. It's about, you know, these certain rules and things you put on people to make them act a certain way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's,
yeah,
to me, what religion does, you know, whereas God is something completely different, like you're saying.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, religion is not necessarily a negative thing in many ways, because, I mean, after all, it just tries to control people in a way so they can live together, you know? I mean,
but who's the one controlling?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though, is that it is control, you know? I mean, but what I'm saying is that it ended up being a pretty good thing, you know? I mean, people create clans and families and things like this, and try not to kill other people.
Right.
And,
no, definitely. It does give you some guidelines and morals to follow, you know, so we're all not out killing each other.
It's just the fasting and Yom Kippur, man. It just doesn't apply anymore.
That's why I gave it up. I said, I don't believe in religion anyway. Pass me a hamburger.
Yeah, then you deal with the guilt for 2 days.
Oh, I'm telling you, on Yom Kippur, I did not fast, but there was that 5 minutes that I was like, all right, God.
Yeah. You know, this year was the first time that I didn't feel guilty.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I finally totally, like...
You let it go?
Yeah.
And then you felt guilty the next day for not feeling guilty.
Yeah, we Jews know a lot about guilt, don't we?
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. I was born and raised, and it's still, you know, my mom, no, whatever, I'm going to go off my mom. See, she's still making me feel guilty in my head.
Really?
Right this moment. I was just about to feel guilty for talking about her.
Yeah, moms will do that to you, and they don't even have to be in the same room, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It's that voice in your head.
Speaking of Jewish moms, yeah. Does your, every time I come or go around my family, I just have to say this because it's so annoying.
Yeah.
Like, every time, like, we go to a restaurant, they start pointing out the whole entire menu to me, like, I can't read.
Really?
It's like, Sherry, they have brisket. Sherry, they have this. Sherry, I'm like, Mom, I can see it. Don't you want this? No, I think I know what I want, but it comes with this.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mom. Like, and I feel like it's only in the Jewish religion, because I went out with my friend's parents and they were doing the same thing. We're like, Mom, we can read. We've got it. Yeah, I know, but maybe this would be good for you. And I'm like, I'm 35. I know it's good for me. Cock in my mouth.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Did your mom ever do that or no?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I just wonder. Yeah. I wonder if it's a New York thing, though, too, like Jewish New Yorkers, because I think it's just a really bad combination.
Yeah. Don't put a Jew in New York, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's a combo between the accent and everything else. I don't know. I can just go off about my family. I'm just happy they don't listen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, I want to play something for you. I don't know if you've heard this, but I only discovered it recently. But it's pretty cool. If you know who this is, just let me know.
We're sitting here today with film star Natalie Portman.
Hello.
We're rapping?
So,
yeah. Oh, you know that?
What's a day in the life
love this.
Of Natalie Portman like?
Do you really want to know?
It's terrible quality.
Tell us.
I don't sleep, motherfucker, off that yak and that Durbin. Doing 120, getting head while I'm swerving.
Damn, Natalie, you a crazy chick.
Yo, shut the fuck up and suck my dick. I'm buzzing through
I love this scene.
My friend told me if I ever want to be a good actress, I have to be able to pull something off like this.
There you go.
What you want, Natalie? To drink and fight.
What you need, Natalie?
To fuck all night. Don't text me when I'm crazy off that airplane glue. Put my foot down your throat till your shit's in my shoe. Leave you screaming. Pay for my dry cleaning. Fuck you, man. It's my name that he's screaming.
I'm sorry, Natalie. Are we to believe you condone driving while intoxicated?
I never said I was a role model.
But what about the kids that look up to you? Do you have a message for them?
All the kids looking up to me can suck my dick. Motherfucker, drink till I'm sick of your throat. And pump nudges down the hall. Watch you laugh and cry while I laugh you die. All the dudes, you know I'm talking to you.
We love you, Natalie.
I wanna fuck you too.
Hey.
It's for torment.
Hey.
It's for pussy. I'll kill your fucking dog for fun, so don't push me.
Wow. Natalie, I'm surprised. All this from a Harvard graduate.
Well, there's a lot you may not know about me.
Really? Such as?
When I was in Harvard, I smoked weed every day. I cheated every test and started all the yay. I got a deaf posse. You got a bunch of dudes. I'll sit right there on your face and take a shit.
Natalie, you are a badass bitch.
Yeah.
I'm always paid for your dry cleaning. When my shit gets in your shoe.
What?
Okie doke. Natalie, one final question. If you could steal a smooch from any guy in Hollywood, who would it be?
No more questions.
Right, I guess that's it.
That's awesome. I think that's such a cool thing about being an artist is that you could do stuff like that.
I know. And Natalie Portman,
out of all
people, you know?
I know. That's why my friend Noah, they said, they were like, Sherry, you need to listen to this because if you ever want to be an artist, you have to be able to do something like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Be somebody else.
To be able to like just rap. I used to want to be a rapper for a minute.
Yeah.
That and a solid gold dancer.
Solid gold. God, I forgot about all
that.
Oh,
I didn't. That was like my dream as a young girl besides being an actress. I used to stand in front of the TV like with their gold shiny tights and like the French cut leotards, and I used to do the dance the same. I would like copy them. I was like, I'm going to be a solid gold dancer. And then once I put myself in the leotard, I was like, no, you're not. But of course, my family's like, Sherry, you're the best. You could do whatever you want. You're the best actress, the best dancer. I'm like, shut up. It was funny the other day when we had Jeff Rector on here.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling my mom about, you know, the show and everything, and she said, "So he's a director and a, well, more like, so he's a director and a producer." And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "But he does like sci-fi." And she was like, "Well, why don't you tell him about what you did?" And I'm like, "You mean at Universal Studios theme park, the Star Trek reenactment?"
She like, thinks it was cool.
I was like, Mom, it doesn't work that way. Like, that's, there's nothing. She's like, you were really good in that.
Well, you don't want to take your mom with you to an audition.
I know at all, but that's a funny thing about parents, or especially my mom. Like, they just think, like, that anything can happen out here. Like, she'll, I'll tell her, I waited, I waited on some actor, and she's like, well, why don't you ask him to help you and put him in your film? I'm like, you don't just call up Hollywood. Hey, I'm here. But Sherry, you're the best actress. I'm like, yeah, tell the 3 other million people here that are too.
Yeah.
It was very funny. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go show him my home video of Star Trek.
Yeah. Well, that was really cute. We should have her call in sometime. Huh?
Actually, it would be really fun.
Yeah, but you have a cool mom, huh?
I have a great mom. She has a history, like a background, uh-huh. like which is where I get part of mine from, my interesting background. But she doesn't like to admit too much to it. But I told you yesterday she was a swinger. Her and my dad used to swing with another another couple, like while they were married.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll get to that. Maybe we'll ask her about it.
I know. I would totally love for her to call in.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to her this week about it, actually, when I leave here.
Sounds good, man. Yeah, let's do that.
She would be really entertained by it.
Yeah.
You'd be, I'm already thinking about it in my head. Sorry. I'm thinking about all the things she would say. Although we might get God lectures.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting, though. Actually, it would be really interesting to find out how she went from, you know, we were raised Jewish to now she believes in Jesus.
Yeah.
We could probably talk to her for hours.
Yeah, we could talk to her. Yeah, maybe make it like a regular corner, you know, Sherry's mom every other day.
I would give my philosophy and she'd give hers.
Yeah.
They're completely different. But I teach her.
Yeah.
She's good.
All right. We're going to take a short break. Hopefully our guest is here by now, and we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
I really wanna show you. show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Now let's get back to Sam in the Morning right here on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back, and we have our guest in the studio. Elise, good morning to you.
Hey, how are you?
I'm saying it right? That's your name?
Yes, that's okay. Exactly right.
Because we never actually met.
No.
We met on Facebook. This is, I think, the first Facebook friend that came in here that I didn't know.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
I meet everybody on social networking sites.
Yeah.
Mainly my tricks.
So did you have to come far to get here?
No, I live, you know, about... 15 minutes that way.
Really?
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah.
She's pointing.
Let's be.
That works on radio.
Well, trying to be a little mysterious.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Being mysterious is not giving us your address.
Yeah, there you go. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So, are you originally from L.A.?
I'm originally from New York, actually.
Yay! Really? There's another New Yorker.
We love New Yorkers.
Yeah. Everybody in L.A. is from New York, I'm telling you.
That's true.
It seems that way. Huh?
Everybody that's been a part of my life is really from the East Coast, whether they're from New York or like...
Because East Coasters are cool.
Yeah?
We're just, you know, honest people. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Honest people.
I know you're going to say assholes. Sure.
No, why would I say that?
You said it yesterday. No, I'm just kidding. No, most people think that about New Yorkers. They think that they're jerks and rude and all that.
Yeah.
And we talked about
Don't. I mean, I actually enjoy when I go to New York. You know, I mean, you see all the people and stuff. I guess living there is not as nice, you know, being with all these people and all these crowds. But no, I found them to be very nice people.
You know, they're just straightforward.
You have to. It's just that LA is so laid back and phony sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's why I think there's like this crowd of people that gather that are from the East Coast, and we all kind of somehow find our way to each other.
I always say that. I was like, all my friends out here are East Coasters.
It's really true. I mean, whether or not, even if they're from here, like I have a really good friend that I've known since I was 5 because I was actually born in New York and then mostly raised here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to school back there and stuff for a while. So. But it's one of those things that, you know, you just have friends that are like, you know, their parents are also from New York. You know, even though she was born here, like, there's still that kind of mentality of this very straightforward, like, I'll just cut to the chase kind of.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it never happens on purpose. Like, I can be out in some place and, you know, a bar or whatever, and then you're talking to someone and you hit it off. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from New York. I'm from here. Like, it's always an East Coast person that you just get, you know, attracted to.
No, it's really, really true.
So you came here when you were young, actually, with the family and everything?
I came here with my family because I had really bad asthma when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
So
you needed warm weather.
I was, yeah,
there's smog here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
But, let's go where it's dirtier. No, harder to breathe.
Well, in the middle of the 80s, it wasn't quite as.
Oh, gotcha.
It was a little bit. Yeah. It was better than it is now. But still, it was more also about what type of trees grow back there and different allergies and just like the extreme weather conditions and just being dry out here as opposed to.
Yeah. You know, I never realized that, but my daughter went up north for college and she had to leave because her asthma was acting up. And they told her, you shouldn't be living out here, you know, so she had to leave that college and go somewhere else.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's amazing, but I guess...
That's what ended up happening to me in New York, actually.
Really?
Is I ended up not really being able to live there for... And I think, there were a lot of things that were going on when I was there in terms of trying to find myself. I was studying theater at the time and trying to also do music and...
Yeah.
Yeah, studying theater would fuck you up.
Yeah,
those things. Well, they said, okay, why don't you do musical theater then? And I was like, it's not. Those are two. That's a third completely separate thing. It's not the same.
Yeah. Where'd you go to school?
NYU.
Okay, I was gonna go there.
Nice.
Yeah. And I ended up leaving when they asked me to sing "Someday My Prince Will Come."
True story.
Really?
That was the moment.
I'm out of here.
I just said, I think I need to write my own lyrics. I don't think I can. I don't think I can handle this. And then I started hanging out in the clubs there and going to see, you know, just open mic nights and stuff. And then I ended up moving back to LA and getting really involved in like the open mic night scene and that sort of stuff. And then finally, you know, slowly but surely.
Yeah.
Got out of my apartment.
So open mic is pretty much for comedy, right? Or is it for singing as well?
Oh, I would never. I think comedy's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
I feel better when I have an instrument with me and like a reason to sing and play. That's just me. Even with like acting, I was not as comfortable.
Sherry likes instruments too.
You're just dying to say that word.
She's got to have an instrument somewhere around her.
I just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah. It was an opening. I had to take it.
Nice. That's what they all say.
Yeah.
They just slip in.
Elise is like, what kind of a show did I end up with?
I have a question. You said like you knew you had to write your own lyrics. Were you always like writing from the time you were young?
I guess I always, my mom is an English teacher.
Okay.
So I always have had, you know, definitely like a grasp of the English language that way. And so I always wrote poems and everything when I was a kid. I didn't put it together that I could sing and write my own songs for a really long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mostly because nobody ever told me I could do it. And I don't know why I needed anybody to tell me, but
sometimes
I
you need to be guided.
Just, yeah. I didn't know. I thought, you know, and then I was up on stage doing musical theater and theater and going, why is the band down there? Yeah. Like, they're so far from me.
And why
what's
am I singing
on?
In the middle of talking?
I know,
why do I break out
on?
A song?
I know, exactly. So I just started, I mean, it actually started, I realized when I went to see Fleetwood Mac in like the late 90s, early 2000s, and I saw them and I just thought, oh my gosh, she writes like me, which is so entirely, you know, like a young, you know, 21-year-old.
You're talking about Stevie Nicks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I realized, oh, wow, I want to do that. And I turned and I looked at the audience when I went to see them, and I was like, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Mm. Like one of those life-defining moments.
It really was. That's awesome. Was kind of like in one, literally one moment. I just decided that that was what I was supposed to do. And then, you know, finally, after trekking years and years and years, not years, you know, but a while, you know, you finally get to somewhere that you're trying to go.
And you're still going.
You know, it's one of those things you just kind of make your way.
Yeah. Well, you're looking proudly at your CD here, so we might as well put it in.
Oh, nice.
And see, how many songs have you recorded so far?
This song is a 10-song album. It's our self-titled.
It's your first album?
Mm-hmm. We did another version of this album last year that has the same producer. We just added a couple songs and took off a few and had it remixed.
Okay.
And added a few different, well, another player. We added a guy named Dave Scholes that played with the Goo Goo Dolls in Berlin.
Oh, nice. What's the name? What's your name? What's the name of the group?
Elise in the Aftermath.
Elise in the Aftermath.
Wow.
Sounds good. You had to put your name in there, didn't you?
You know what? The thing is that actually the band name The Aftermath is taken somewhere in like another country. So I just decided.
That's a good excuse.
I just decided. You know, and it sounded more like a fairy tale with like, you know.
Yeah, and besides, you're the main act there, right? And they're like a, I mean, is it like a band or?
It is like a band. We've had, I met these guys a couple years ago at a friend's recording session. And I said, oh, if you ever need anybody. And I said, well, I'm thinking of making an album. You know, can we figure something out? We could, you know, and we started writing some demos. I mean, I had a lot of demos in my apartment. That's what I'd been doing. After I stopped playing open mic nights and playing with a few different bands, I held up in my apartment for like a year writing demos.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, really. I hardly went anywhere. One of my best friends had just moved away to New York, and so I kind of just really focused and zoned in and did that, and then I decided, okay, I'm going to make an album.
Yeah.
And I don't know where the money's going to come from, but I'm going to do it.
You believed?
And so I met these guys, and my guitar player, Greg, he's just become like my right-hand man because he's the guitarist I wish I could be if I started playing guitar when I was really little.
I play a mean-ass air guitar.
Awesome.
Now you have Rock Band.
You can do that. You know, I can't play any of those games. When you can actually play guitar, you can't play Guitar Hero or Rock Band. It's just, it's so weird for me to, like, I tried and I was really bad.
Yeah, because it's a whole different thing.
Surprisingly bad.
No, you don't want to learn guitar by playing Rock Band.
My hands are too small to play guitar anyway. I've
really?
Tried. Yeah. They
well,
just don't reach, they hurt.
Not an electric guitar.
There are some guitars. There's a company called Daisy Rock that makes guitars that are for girls' hands.
Really?
Uh-huh. Really?
That are purposely
smaller. But electric guitars are usually very narrow. So
I think I want to be a drummer, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't really like want to be a drummer, but I mean, if I was to play, like, I do the air drums with my friends.
Drums is like the hardest thing ever.
I don't know if this makes you a drummer, but I have like really loose wrists. But you know what I mean? They go fast and all. That's never mind.
That's a little too much information.
Too much information. No, I mean, she's, you know, I mean, you're into music as well.
Yeah,
and
I love
stuff.
Music.
Yeah.
I do, but if I had a band, though, I probably would even give my band a name. I mean, them, it'd be like Sherry and her supporting staff.
That's really, really funny.
Yeah, it's all about me.
Well, you know, the weird thing is it just ended up, I always wanted to be in a band. I always wanted to be in a band, and I just kept looking for, you know, Lindsey Buckingham or like, you know, anybody, you know, Richie Sambora, anybody that had like a sideman Slash,
you know what
I mean? Like, where's my guy? And then I realized at some point or another that I had to be that person for myself. And I kind of got more into like Chrissy Hynde and the girls that really play guitar.
Mm.
And so when I met Greg, my guitar player, it was just kind of one of those things that it just kind of all worked. And yeah. he had two friends that he was already in a band with, and so we just kind of together.
Yeah. I think singing is so freeing. Like if I was to say like I ever had like a secret dream, it is to be a singer.
Yeah.
Like I would love to just have a mic and just get down, you know, but fearful, that's another fear, but I think it's amazing.
Oh, you know, that's also the other thing. I felt like, sounds weird, but I can't stand being afraid of anything.
Yeah.
Like it's not that singing on stage was not as big of a deal when I was singing somebody else's songs, but to get up and play guitar really badly
yeah.
and sing my own little
right.
songs that were not good when I started, you know, it was one of those really freeing things because you don't know how bad you are when you start. You're just excited that you can play.
I got booed off karaoke. Granted, I was doing GNR and that was with old lesbians.
Yeah.
They weren't into the screaming.
Oh, nice.
Guns N' Roses. I was like, we're singing Guns N' Roses. What do you want?
What am I supposed to do? I'm trying to be Axl.
Doing Sweet Child of Mine. And they're like, boo.
They wanted the Sheryl Crow version.
Probably. That's funny.
But they say that if you're serious about singing, you shouldn't go to karaoke. I don't know about that.
I think it's a perfectionist
yeah.
thing.
I don't know. I love to sing, but I like karaoke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know what? I think karaoke's cool. I mean, you know, there are times when I went to go find my own voice singing karaoke because I didn't have a band yet, you know, just going and, you know, singing like Heart or, you know, songs that were completely at the time out of my range and out of my comfort zone, or like Pat Benatar, really hot, just, you know, stuff like that. And it was really, really freeing.
Really?
That's what my car drives are.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, my car rides, like, I am every kind of singer, every genre. I'm, like, amazing. I'm a star in every genre.
You're
people
like
look at me, and
they're
like, people
trails.
Driving by me, and I'm like, so true.
Again, a visual thing. This looks
now
great
I want a camera.
Radio.
You should have one of those cameras in your car.
I have one in my head that follows me wherever I go.
You're always like, oh, there you are.
It's an embarrassing story.
So how would you describe your music? I mean, is it you describe like rockers and stuff like that? Is that the kind of music it is?
You know, I guess you would say those people are rockers. I don't know. It's all really, to me, like, pop rock music because it's all within that genre of pop.
Right.
I'd listen to it then.
Yeah. You know, it's it's just mainstream pop rock, you know, catchy songs trying to be hopefully
well,
deep.
Let's play a couple of them. So you said track 2?
Yeah,
is
this
a good
is
one?
The, yeah.
That's
it's,
your
it's called The Ones Who Never Talk.
Okay.
Oh, that's not me.
I know, it doesn't seem to be any of us, does it?
Yeah. Okay, this is Elise in the Afternoon.
Totally be rocking to this in my car. I was just thinking about being on the freeway doing it.
Yeah. I can hear like a Pat Benatar there and stuff.
Thanks.
You know? Yeah.
Thanks.
You sound great.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah.
So you wrote this song?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The music, I never listen to bands. This is this bad part of me and music. Like, I never really hear like the instruments and stuff. It's more always about the lyrics and the vocals. But like the music, I mean, the instrument's great. It's all great. I love
Thanks.
It.
See, yeah. That's something that, you know, I think is how you create like a band with the sound is you just find those people that want to stick with you. You know what I mean? And that are in it. I mean, you know, it's not that I don't obviously pay them because they're obviously working musicians and they work with other people, but we've developed a very strong bond because we said we're going to do this together and we wrote, you know, the parts on the album together. Like I wrote all the songs on acoustic guitar, except probably the next one maybe I'll play is actually on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
I just bang on the piano. I just really kind of, I don't know, I just get bored of the guitar, so I move to the piano.
Yeah.
And
that sounds cool.
But you guys sound like the perfect match. Like, it just, like, goes. Like, your voice and them just sound great together.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, like a perfect meld,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, tight and everything,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's nice. I like it.
Thanks.
My foot was going. I was like, I want to get in my car and drive.
Awesome. It's perfect.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's the next step with this? I mean, how do you actually make a song, like, successful?
Gosh, isn't that the question of the century?
Yeah.
Like I'm learning.
Well, I'm trying to see if you're prepared for the question.
I am. You know what? I guess that more than anything, I'm just trying to do some things that are really unorthodox because I don't have the funds to, you know, do this on my own anymore. I didn't have the funds to make the album, but I'm really, really out of money now.
Mm.
And, you know, my mom actually stepped in and really helped in with, like, the last bit of everything. And so I just can't. You know, I can't, I just have to, it just has, something has to happen. So,
it will. I have to say this, just sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I just have to tell you that money follows passion always. Like, if your main goal is, like, your music and loving and passion and not about everything else, like, it just follows because you just keep going and pursuing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah
no, like, you know, I really do believe that. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that you just keep, for me, just, you keep going. Like, for me, it's all been a path of, first, a couple years ago, I met my, you know, or... Like 4 years ago, I met my producer of this album, Brett Chasen, and he was a really good friend. He's also from New York, and he was straight with me. And so when I went back to make an album, I was going to go to a couple of other producers, and he's a more hard rock producer. Mm-hmm. Like, he works with Motorhead and, like, Dave Grohl when he worked with Motorhead, and just, they, you know, he and his business partner, Bob Kulick, have won, you know, Grammys and other things for hard rock music. But at the same time, they were the ones that were straight with me about the songs and, like, make this right. They weren't going to sugarcoat anything, and that's really what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And then I went to Mark Needham to remix the album, who's the guy who does Fleetwood Mac and The Killers and Green Day.
That's very cool.
And I said to him, you know, do you ever work with, you know, unsigned artists that might, you know, that I could maybe, you know, I don't know, pay you off till I'm old? And, and so everybody's been amazingly supportive. Uh-huh. And then from that, we ended up opening for Berlin last, the day after Thanksgiving.
Really?
Where I met Dave Schulz, who plays keyboard for Berlin, and he ended up playing on the album, and he was supposed to play on three songs, and I heard him on the first song, and I went, oh no, he's going to have to play on the whole album. It's just not even going to be possible for this to happen. So then Mark went back again and remixed the album again.
Mm.
When you're following your life's work, like, one thing just goes into the other and one door opens and you meet people and then it moves on to the next thing. It's like when you know that you're on the path and doing exactly what you should be doing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then...
I don't know, I feel all open with her. Like, I honestly, like, I see success. I
do. Awesome.
And I'm
Thank
not
you.
A psychic, but...
Yeah.
Gosh,
but you think you are.
Well, you know, it's nice to have, you know, and the guy who mastered Dave's album, Paul Grundman, whose father is Bernie, mastered Thriller and some crazy, amazing, you know, Jackson Brown, just crazy, crazy...
Yeah.
Albums. And
so you're in good company.
Yeah, no, and everybody's been really supportive and, you know, just made it work with what I can do. And so now at this point we're doing this thing called Kickstarter, which is kickstarter.com. It's an awesome website where you have artists funding other artists or just a project if you think it's cool. Like, they have somebody building, you know, a human-sized theremin. Do you know what a theremin is?
No.
No.
It's like, well, you'll hear it on the next song.
Okay.
But, you know, just a human size, you know, theremin, like random things, like, you know, an Obama, you know, collective book of his campaign, you know, that people are trying to get these projects funded. And it's one of those things that people can pledge through Amazon.com and their accounts. And so we're pre-selling the album that way for just $5 to actually try to raise money to get on the radio because, you know, regular radio costs money as much as people think you want to just try to get there.
Yeah.
You know, so we're trying to, that's kind of, we're trying to be unorthodox and, you know, have our fans help us raise some money. And
Yeah. I mean, you put your songs on iTunes and stuff, you know, and you let people listen. And it's word of mouth, you know.
You know what? Freaking sites, Facebook and all that stuff. I know it sounds silly, but you can get so much done off there. Like my friend who's a singer-songwriter, like we put her on my page a couple of times, and now she's like working with the Rolling Stones producer, like all just from people seeing her on my page, and then they put it on their page,
really?
And things just get around. Yeah. Like it's the best networking type thing ever.
I think it's true. I think it's one of those things that now that the album is really done, because before I felt like the songs we did last year were 13 songs, actually 12 originals, one cover, and this is, to me, 10 really solid, like, original songs that we just put in, like, all our heart and soul, and I love the fact that all the guys that, you know, aside from Dave, you know, play with me live, and we've known each other for a couple of years. It's just the best feeling. It's like, you know, my version of Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
I could have my own Fleetwood
That's awesome.
Mac, you know.
What about live shows and stuff? Do you guys do those?
Yeah, we've done a lot of live shows. We just played, you know, the past 2 months at Molly Malone's. We did that.
I got drunk there.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, we play the Mint and like the Key Club. Right now we're focusing, hopefully going to be going on tour if we can get that together towards the end of the year.
Very cool.
And then we'll be going back to South by Southwest, which we did last year too, in Texas, which is in March, and doing kind of like a Here to Texas tour with one of my friends that's a singer-songwriter from New York, and Katie that's in a band called Lunic.
Yeah.
And we're going to
do
that.
So you're already moving along. Yeah. You're moving. You're going. You're up.
Yeah, we just, you know, the thing is you just have to keep going. I mean, to me, honestly, at this point, I'm still, if I had to, I would do a solo acoustic tour just to go out there right now.
Yeah. Riding the wave.
As much as I love my band, you know, like I need... It's great now at this point that I can just play on my own, too. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's like, screw you guys. I'm by myself now.
No, not at all. But meaning, you know, I wish, you know, at some point you can't take everybody on the road for as long as you want to take them monetarily until somebody else decides to get involved, you know. So, so it's just been one of those. Yeah, we play all over. We're trying to get, you know, we're actually opening for Berlin again on New Year's.
Really?
Huh?
You know that Terry Nunn is a friend of the station. She's been here a few times.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's really cool. Did you get to meet her?
I did, absolutely. Yeah, and I saw her at, she came to Dave's show where I hung out with her, too.
I see. She's the lead singer of Berlin.
Okay.
She's amazing.
I knew she had to be someone.
Yeah. Do you know who Berlin is?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
but I was
good.
Putting the context clues together.
Like, what?
Like, all right, we must be talking about Berlin.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I've always said whenever I talk about, you know, Berlin, that of any song, when I used to sing in a cover band like 3 years ago, I only sang in a cover band for like less than 6 months.
Mm.
But Berlin songs were my favorite songs to sing.
Really?
Favorite songs to sing.
You know what you should do? You should write a song called Someday My Prince Will Come and make like a take on your, because it's what made you get into music.
Yeah. Right.
No, you know what I mean?
Write it for Sherry.
No, I don't know. I just got inspired to think that. God told me, okay?
To do it really, like, really hard rock and very,
so I'm
like,
saying, like,
screaming,
something completely
like,
different.
Totally,
like, because it's like, it's
style.
A day that you walked away from that life, you know what I mean? And was just like, I'm out of here.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a phone call. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
This is Tommy again.
Oh, Tommy.
Tommy.
Thank you for calling back. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to tell Elise that her music sounds a lot like Scandal as well.
Really?
Ooh,
yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I have no idea who that is.
Patty Smythe.
Yeah, Patty Smythe.
Patty Smythe has got an awesome voice. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool, man. So what's happening with you? I mean, you've been going in and out of the hospital. Are you okay?
Yeah, it's been a rough week. Those lesbians did me, and I
was just going to say, did they work you over?
he couldn't wait 2 minutes to bring in the lesbians.
No, seriously, it's been a rough week. I've been in and out of the hospital, and I don't really want to get into my personal on that.
Yeah.
Good news is that I've got a week laid up in bed, and this week the lesbians are coming to me.
Really? Is that for another
That's
twister?
That's the way to have it, I think. They're like one of the most loyal people you can have.
I think he got himself sick just so they'd come to him.
Actually, it's a blessing in disguise. When they start talking about bringing ropes and stuff,
it's a little too much for you.
A little bit concerned.
Tommy, you didn't have a heart attack, did you? That's not why you're in the hospital.
No,
okay,
no,
God
no,
for
no.
I'm like,
thank God for that. I tell you though, I have learned not that I didn't have admiration and respect for the lesbian community prior to this, but to have two couples there and to actually watch them interact, it's really a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the relationships that they carry, and it's beautiful. I mean, just to be an outsider sitting there at dinner and watching them interact, or having them debate something that they saw on TV or something. It's like married couples normally are. You know?
Are you falling in love?
Yeah, he's falling in love with lesbians. Yeah.
We went from last week, I'm talking about the massage table and sitting on his face, too. I love watching them talk.
Well, you got to understand, you know, when you're sitting at the dinner table and you hear one look at the other and pick up a loaf of bread and say something like, what did the loaf of bread say to the donut? I wished I had a hole. You know? it's classic stuff. You know?
Okay, fair enough. Oh, my God.
And when you hear them debating amongst themselves and say, you know, we should start the Lesbian R Us Foundation. You know, I mean, you can't make this kind of stuff up. You have to be there to say, wow, they're real people. Yeah. You know, and,
they don't just lick coochie. They actually talk to you.
A lot of people have that perception.
I know.
A lot of people think that that's all it's all about.
Well,
you know?
Like gay men. All they do is bang in bathroom bars, bend each other over the
sink. Under the stall and all of that.
Sorry, those are just my fantasies.
Yeah. Tommy, you just got to be careful so you don't go into the hospital for a heart attack, man.
No. Thankfully, I take care of myself very well.
Yeah.
I'm on a very lean diet, and other than the problem with my intestine this week, which was uncontrollable, I run every day. I exercise every day. I'm good for my age.
Awesome.
Did the doctor give you a clean bill of health? Just out of curiosity, are you okay? I mean,
I do what they tell me to do and stay in bed for a week. Yes, I will be fine.
Okay.
Unfortunately for me, I was an idiot this week, and after the first surgery, I went on a run, which I shouldn't have done, and I popped a couple stitches. And
you went running after surgery?
Yeah, I know.
Like
I
that
know,
afternoon.
I know.
Those drugs must have been good.
Yeah. Either that or was chasing
the
lesbians.
Dude, I feel like I can fly, you know?
Yeah, I actually have been to Jupiter this week.
Yeah.
So I can
tell everyone I said hi. I want to go to Jupiter. Send them my way.
I was just a hop and a skip over to Pluto, which I'm much more fond of. So.
Yeah. So, any
here's a little cold.
Any lesbian action this weekend, Tommy?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's like he looks forward to the weekends. He always gets some action.
Well, this weekend was Lesbian Twister.
I see.
Oh, that's right. You were doing
that. And they came to tell Renata that they actually will send her a copy if she's really that interested.
Mm-hmm. She was interested. After the show was over, she kept saying, where do I get this twister from? Yeah. I'm like, I think you can just make it up at yourself.
Well, actually, you really can. I mean, you can go to any, like, A.C. Moore or one of those places and get yourself a piece of acrylic or plastic. You can pop the spinner off and put it right over it, and you can use washable ink or markers, and you could write whatever you want over the individual colors.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Or you could actually do it right on the twister board itself.
Sounds
the map.
Good. Yeah. I mean,
once again, why play games? Just say hey.
Exactly.
Stick
yeah,
your
like
tongue down there.
Bend over.
All right.
Not left hand red.
I know. Right tit red.
That's actually exactly what they did, ironically.
Yeah.
They listened to you and they used that as part of their
idea.
Oh,
boy. Wow, them and listening to me.
I never thought I'd be sexual inspiration to anyone, especially lesbians, but hey, you know.
It's the first time
we'll
for everything.
Take it, yeah.
At least we're inspiring someone to have sex, because it's certainly not me.
All right, Tommy.
Well, actually, they love to listen to you when when they do what they do, you know, and they take your ideas, and this week we're not a two. And
wow. Well, we need some visuals, man. We need some visuals.
Okay, well,
Sam, you can send me out on location. Bring my
cat. Red kid, red.
Yeah. Tommy, listen. Yeah. No. Well, I'm really glad you called, man, and I'm glad to hear you're doing well and stuff. Tommy and I are in touch all the time through Facebook and stuff, so I understand also that you're enjoying the drugs and all the pain pills and stuff. So enjoy yourself. You seem to me like you're having a blast there. You know what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah. I want a doggy bag.
With a little bow, I know.
All right, man. Listen, I have more calls coming in, so have a great weekend and do get better, man.
Feel better.
I appreciate it, Mons. Have a good weekend, guys.
Okay, take care. We got another call here, so let's take this one. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
Sam George Takei. How are you?
Oh, George Takei
wow,
is calling.
Hi.
Do you know who that is, Elise?
No.
He's from Star Trek, and
oh,
he's a big
cool
fan.
I was Sulu.
He oh, was wow Sulu, yeah. And he's gay, and he just got married. And
he's like, yeah, looking straight at me, telling me that. Like, leave him alone, Sherry.
George, so what's going on? Any new Star Trek conventions or anything?
No, not anything in the near future. However, Sam, I first of all wanted to hope that you had atoned for all of your sins Monday for being such a terrible Jew.
Well, thank you very much, my friend.
Take a lifetime to atone for that.
That's the guilt I just needed,
yeah, right?
I hope I didn't offend you, my friend.
No, you didn't. You didn't offend me. I enjoy talking to gay guys, and they sometimes.
That's a random statement.
Is it a random statement?
Yeah, especially if you don't finish it.
Yeah.
Just leave it there.
Yeah, George. So, what are you calling about today?
Yes. Well, first of all, it sounded like Tommy had just had an anal intrusion. It sounds terrible, that poor young man. But nevertheless. I just wanted to tell you that I was listening to your in-studio guest. What's her name? I forget.
Elise.
Elise, yes.
Yes.
I think she's got as much talent as the length of your penis. Not much.
That wasn't a nice thing, man. You just insulted
two
people.
Well, wait, you just insulted yourself, Sam, because you could be very lengthy.
No. You insulted
here,
two
Sam
people at the
I
same time.
I have been in the entertainment industry for now 35 plus years. I can recognize talent and a heartbeat, and believe me, you would have better success waiting tables than selling that mishmash you were playing on the airwaves. Oh my.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're nasty, man. We're going to let you go. Don't think this is a it's just this
welcome
is a character. She's like totally like irritated though. Okay, let's play another song. Which song do you like on the
Are you sure you want to do that?
Of
yeah.
Of course. Come on. Don't be offended. This is like a bit, you know? It's a funny bit.
Yeah. This is Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm going to get Greg for this. Get me in trouble with my guests. All right. Well, but for the record, my penis is pretty long, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right. Well, that's
that
good.
Hopefully
the length of my success and my career will be longer.
There you go. There you go.
Actually, I can probably guarantee that.
All right, so which song?
That's all right, because I didn't actually know who he was either.
No.
I don't watch
Come on,
Star
it's
Trek.
Just a joke. It has nothing to do with you. It would have been anybody here. Be just fine. This is his bit. He likes to insult people, and me too.
Nice.
I mean, he always, always calls me all kinds of blank Jew, you know?
Fucking.
So, no, I mean, your music is awesome, and we told you that. What other songs should we play here?
Why
track
don't you
four?
Play track 8?
Track 8.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the one with the theremin on it.
What's this one called?
This one's theremin? Called one. This one is one called One Photograph.
Okay. Sounds good.
I like it a lot.
I love this song, man. It's got an awesome beat. This is my kind of music. I mean,
awesome.
I can listen to it all the time.
And I'm sticking with music.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Strong bass and everything. I like that.
No one can help you with the answers that you seek. But when you feel it weak and low,
kudos to you, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is awesome. Do you like it?
Thanks. I love it. Yeah? I love it. I do.
I mean, this is a Pat Benatar type of a thing. It really is.
Cool.
You know, I mean, yeah. And you wrote this with an acoustic guitar?
I actually wrote that on the piano.
Really?
That one.
This
that
one?
Was, this piano? One was on the piano. Wow. Actually, well, the chorus I wrote on the acoustic guitar and the verses I wrote on the piano.
Wow. Now, do you get these ideas or do you just sit with the instrument not knowing what you're going to write and it just comes out?
You know what? It just kind of all came out at once. Like, it was... I just kind of sat there, and actually, this song is really weird. I was listening to the Into the Wild soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
It's an amazing. I haven't seen the movie actually, but I haven't even seen. I just love the soundtrack.
It's a great one.
And so I was listening to that, and there's this instrumental called Photographs that I didn't actually know what it was called. And I was just listening to it as I was cleaning my apartment, and I wrote down a line. She doesn't have a single photograph. I don't know where it came from. I just wrote it down. And the next day I sat at the piano and was playing this piano progression and that I usually don't sit and play piano progressions, but it just kind of came to me. And then I realized that that I could sing those lyrics over, and then it just, you know, she has to go on instinct alone. And it was just kind of for me about finishing the album and having like the one photograph of the aftermath of what became, which just became the band name, because that wasn't, I didn't even know that that would be our band name until we came back from South by Southwest.
Let's hear that song before the name of the band.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering that one.
Yeah, that's kind of where it came from. It was funny because I ended up going to South by Southwest, and a couple of guys in my band were playing with another artist, and all of our shows conflicted and stuff like that, so I couldn't play with them because she had booked them first. And so we had ended up using a couple of other guys that my drummer found, because he played in another band called Porcelain that just moved back to Australia. They're an awesome band. But they ended up being like my rhythm section with my same drummer. And so when I came back, it was kind of like the whole experience was the aftermath of kind of learning to fly on my own with whoever was around me.
Right.
Even though I love my guys and would always want to play with them.
Yeah.
So when we came back, I was kind of like, you know, Elise is the aftermath of, you know, Southwest or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was kind of my Facebook status. And then I was like, Elise in the aftermath. I like that. Uh-huh. Yeah. Sounds like a dark fairy. I don't know. It's just sounding
so
cool.
South by Southwest, is that like a musical festival or something?
It's a film and music festival that happens in March in Austin. It's kind of the biggest, well, it's definitely the biggest like independent music festival in the nation.
Yeah.
I found out about it first on Real World.
Really?
Reality TV. Years ago, they were doing South by Southwest. Then.
That's where she learns everything from reality TV.
And South Park.
Well, it's amazing when you live here, as you know, like the music scene is sparse in terms of actually trying to get seen in the sea of people that are here. Because there are a lot of really talented people here.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of really talented people here. So, And a lot of those people are your friends. So, like, they're, even though they want to come see you play, they're, like, in the studio or they're at their other job. They're waiting tables, as whatever that guy said. You know what I mean?
Like,
I used to do that. You know, I did that for a long time. And I ended up getting fired, actually, from my job. It was, like, right down the street from here. Yeah. I'd worked there for years.
I want to know a place.
Should I say it on the air? Yeah, I could say it on
the
air.
No, you don't have to.
Sorry. Anyway, right down the street. I'll tell you where. And I worked there for years, and I knew it was the moment to leave because I got in trouble for, he thought, the owner was French, and he thought I was yelling at this old lady because she was hard of hearing about her lamb. And my grandmother was hard of hearing, and I would never, ever do something like that. And I was just trying to tell her that there were 18 people and nobody could carry 18 plates because she was asking where it was. And I was like, you wanted lamb well done, and it's gonna, like, 18 plates don't just appear, one. And two, like, you know, your lamb will be here in a minute. And like that. And he thought I was being rude to her. And he fired me. And I knew at that moment, I was like, I would never do that. This is my grandmother's way because she already passed on. This is my, it's like, stop it already. Get out of it. Do something else. So.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
For you.
So, 10 songs you have that you recorded and stuff, right?
10 songs.
That's pretty cool.
No,
go ahead.
I was just wondering, do your lyrics usually come first, or is it the music, or is it both? Like,
a lot of times, most of this album was actually, the lyrics came kind of at the same time as the music, or the melody, and then I'd go to try to find what chords I was looking for. Now I'm sort of starting to sit back and, like, craft the music entirely first, or at least parts of it. Mm-hmm. Like a solid, like, verse and pre-chorus and chorus, and then kind of go in and, like, not write the first thing that comes to my head.
Yeah.
Because I kind of realized that's what I did on this album, which is great, but I don't want to rewrite the same things.
Gotcha.
You know? Yeah, and you come out with different songs when you start with the music first and then you write the lyrics. You know, it's not the same because you're not trying to match it to any lyrics. You know, it's more, like, open and free when you start writing the music first, I think.
But isn't it the other? But then isn't it the same thing though? Once you write the music, then you've got to match the lyrics now to the music.
Oh,
no,
shut
I
mean, up!
It's funny because I think that for me, it's true because I think that's always been harder to actually. It's true. It's always.
I was
been
trying to make a point.
No, I wasn't trying to put you down. I was just like thinking of.
I know.
That.
I know.
Okay.
I know. You made me realize I was wrong.
No, I mean, I think honestly,
you're finally learning.
It just depends. You know, it happens both ways. Yeah. You know what I mean? And there's no real right. I think that's the hardest thing about this business is there is really no right or wrong way to do anything.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, except if you are really, really bad.
It's just up to an individual, though. I mean, some people probably find it easier to do, you know, they get inspired and write a poem and then it turns into a song or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then there are people that, you know, are musical
first. A melody goes in their head,
you know, and just, I mean, to me, if you know, sometimes I definitely write melodies before, you know, I mean, but sometimes it just starts off with like one photograph that had that lyric and then everything came from there.
Gotcha.
You know,
that's amazing. Well, you're talented. You're talented. You were born with it, obviously. How's the personal life? Everything good there?
Yeah. You know, just trying to. Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of friends. I don't really have, you know,
You don't date or
any relationship right now?
No.
No.
No, I don't have any. I don't have a lot of time. You know,
not a lot of time.
I wish I did, and I would. You know, I mean, I do know that. Life is not about, you know, trying to get to, like, some sort of destination, but...
It's about the journey.
It is about the journey, so you
have
to be happy along the way.
I've read that somewhere.
Somebody said that. It's a good statement.
I saw that somewhere.
Somewhere. I think on a bumper sticker somewhere, yeah.
You think she thinks I don't have a positive bone in my body.
I am over that. I believe it. I know what it is.
Okay.
So funny.
Oh man, you're terrible.
Manifesting.
Yes, manifesting. Okay. So, well, do you have a website, MySpace?
I do. I have all of that sort of stuff.
Okay,
we have,
go ahead.
Easiest thing to do is probably go to EliseInTheAftermath.com or MySpace.com/EliseInTheAftermath. And it's ELYSE and the aftermath.
Cool.
Just so people don't put an I in there.
Yeah. And can people download the songs from there too?
Not yet. You will be able to pre-order the album and I will start sending them out as soon as it's done being mastered. I'm going to put songs up on Monday on MySpace, I believe.
That'll be cool.
So we're doing that and we're going to launch everything and try to get somebody to listen to it somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But the nice thing is you're not alone. I mean, you've got a whole group of people with you and everything to support you and all that, you know, with the band and that. So
you worked with a lot of great people that know people too, and people will all be listening.
I hope so. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that you never know, but you can't stop just because of, you know, what somebody may or may not think.
I'm telling you, post a song somewhere, just one, give it away. I'm telling you, it'll spread.
Yeah.
It will.
No, in today's economy, you got to give things away, you know? I mean, you really do. And then what happens is there's a demand, and then people go to concerts and buy merchandise and things like that, you know? But
No, it's true. It's,
yeah. But you know, I mean, put them on iTunes as well and see what happens.
No, I mean, it's true. You know, it's for me, I've honestly gotten everywhere on my own. So I don't, like, I don't have a manager. I don't have, you know? So at this point, I think I'd be hard-pressed to really, you know, like, trust somebody to step up and actually take control of my career other than me.
Right.
Well, you're obviously doing a
good
job.
Just because I don't, you know, it's hard to trust people in this business too, you know? I mean, I've learned more than anything, the people I trust the most are the ones that are the musicians or on the production side of everything. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all the same people. We come from, like, the same, you know, loaf of bread, so to speak. You know?
No hole.
Yeah, with no hole.
No hole in that bread. All right. Well, thank you so much for
Thanks
coming
for
in,
having
Elise.
Me.
Of course, of course. And we'll have to have you come in sometime. When are you going to actually release this as a CD?
Yeah, we're going to release it. It's going to be coming out the beginning of next year.
Oh, really? Cool.
It. Yeah.
Well, let's keep in touch, you know,
Absolutely.
And you can come in and promote
I'll
it.
I'll come in with Greg. Out. We'll play together. We'll do a little acoustic thing.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That'd be awesome. I'd love to hear it live. Cool. I was thinking that while I was playing. I was like, oh, this would be fun to listen to live.
You should check out Kelly's show because Greg and I played Kelly's show, the music.
Yeah, Kelly McGrath. She has a show on Sundays, a music show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you were on her show too.
I was, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Kelly. I'm actually playing, I'm playing Tuesday at the Fox and Hound with that.
Oh,
yeah,
Kelly
you should let us
and another
know
girl
about
named
that.
Sarah Heathcote.
The Fox and Hound, where's that?
It's right on Ventura and like Vineland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've gotten drunk there too.
Yeah. She's left the mark.
Know,
you know?
There are a few spots left. You know, but there are a couple.
It's like dogs that pee everywhere to mark their territory.
And it's like, I've been there. And I'm the mean one. Just compare me to a dog.
All right. Well, on that note,
that note, don't get in any car accidents.
No, no. Well, you already did. Or I did already. So, yeah, hopefully there won't be another one.
There won't
anyway,
be.
Anyway, yeah. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You too, Sam.
Okay,
yeah,
thank
thanks
you.
For having me.
Of course, it's a pleasure. And we'll see you all here on Monday.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio in Studio City, California. Get ready for Sam in the Morning.